Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you here today for worship. We're glad that you're here. The season of Lent calls us to a sacred uncovering. It's a season in which God brings us face to face with the things that we use to hide our emptiness. Because the God who formed us, knows that healing begins with the truth. And that resurrection begins with surrender. This morning's theme is the cisterns we dig, which, Dig Rotola came up to me this morning and said, "You didn't have to be talking about me this morning." And okay, Dig, it was good. But it comes right out of Jeremiah's prophetic cry. God, through Jeremiah, says this: "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And this is sad. It's tragic because this is a people who is surrounded by the living God, and yet they are thirsting because they've traded the flow of living water for a cracked clay pit. The question that Jeremiah pushes to the surface, and later Jesus confronts it as well, is this: where are you looking for life? Now, thirst is one of those universal experiences in the world. You don't have to teach a baby to cry out for milk. Thirst is life's built-in reminder that we are dependent. It's not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of design. Spiritually, we are thirsty too. Every human being carries this ache, this yearning for significance and love and belonging and purpose and peace. The question isn't whether or not we thirst, but where do we go to quench it? Jeremiah's generation was prosperous and religiously active, but beneath the surface, the thirst was growing. And they started to turn to idols and allegiances and self-sufficiency. God says, "Has a nation ever changed its gods? But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols." They were digging cisterns, the human-made systems to hold what only God can give. And sadly, we do the same. Our cisterns will look a little bit different, though. Careers that define us, relationships that complete us, habits that numb us, success that validates us. But we're all cracked. We may hold water for a little while, but eventually they leak. And our souls are left dry. Our prayers are hollow and our faith shallow. And Lent comes to expose that thirst and redirect it. The stripping away is painful because it reveals how deep our dependence is upon these broken cisterns. But the mercy of God is that he doesn't just uncover, is that he invites us to the spring. So let's bring Jeremiah's words into today's world. Right, some of us dig cisterns of control. We think that if we can manage outcomes and anticipate threats and hold everything together, we'll be safe. But control is exhausting. It leaks. And eventually we realize that no amount of planning can secure peace. Or we dig cisterns of approval. Right? We will drink from the approval of others. We have social media likes, success in ministry, appreciation from peers. but that water evaporates quickly. At one word of criticism, and the thirst returns stronger. Some depend upon cisterns of distractions, right? We will scroll and we will scroll and we will scroll. Or we'll eat or drink just to avoid the longing that is inside of us. But the more we drink, the emptier we feel. Or we can dig cisterns of religion. We'll have performance-based faith, doing for God instead of being with God. We'll serve and we'll preach and we will lead. But somewhere along the way, the spring has gone silent, and we mistake activity for intimacy. And it's sobering, isn't it? Because Jeremiah isn't talking to people who are outside of the church. He's talking to the church. Right? We would be the ones who were digging cisterns in Jeremiah's day. And their sin wasn't that they didn't know about the spring. It's that they stopped trusting that it would satisfy them. And so God sends prophets, and eventually his son, not to condemn, but to call his people back. And then John 4 gives us a living example of Jeremiah's metaphor. A Samaritan woman comes to Jacob's well at noon, not the time of day when people go to the well, because this is the hottest time of the day. But it's the time of day where you can go if you want to avoid others. She's carrying both a physical thirst and an unspoken shame. Right? She has her own cisterns of relationships and routines and religion. When Jesus meets her, he doesn't start with an accusation, but with a request. Will you give me a drink? The question opens her up right there. It's as if Jesus is saying, let me meet you right where your thirst is at. And their conversation was, it's kind of like peeling back layers or stripping it away. The whole story is found in John 4, 1 to 42. And so I'm just giving you highlights this morning. But in that conversation, right, she became defensive. Right, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We're not supposed to associate with each other. Then she got it religious. And, you know, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. And then she got honest. Right, I have no husband. Each layer is stripped away until she stands in the light of truth. And in that moment, Jesus reveals himself not as a judge, but as the spring. He says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you see the grace that is in this passage? And where Jeremiah is calling out the people for digging cisterns, Jesus comes as the well himself, and he offers what every other false source has failed to give. Right? The living water isn't a concept. The living water is Christ himself. The indwelling spirit, the indwelling of the spirit who makes our hearts fountains of life. But if Jesus is the spring, why do we still dig? I think we dig because the wells of this world are tangible. They're controllable. The spring of the water of life requires faith. It requires a surrender of control. Right, to drink from Jesus means that we admit that we cannot fill ourselves. And that's hard for us. Jeremiah's people didn't turn to idols because they wanted to portray or betray God, but because they wanted assurance. They wanted to be able to see and hold their gods. We may not bow down to stone idols, but we will sure cling to our functional ones, our schedules, our results, our possessions, our networks. They all promise stability, and yet they're nothing more than cracked clay. And every time we pour ourselves into a cistern, the Spirit whispers, "This cannot hold what I want to give you." And so Lent is a sacred invitation to stop digging, to lay down the shovel and turn back to the spring. Right? That's repentance at its most sincere form. Repentance isn't about self-punishment. It's about reorientation. It's saying, "God, I have been looking in empty places for what only you can satisfy." It's trading our broken jars for a living flow. I mean, it's no wonder that Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now notice Jesus' promise. He says, "The water I give them will become in them a spring of water that is welling up to eternal life." Right? Not beside them, not above them, but in them. It's the miracle of grace that salvation isn't just forgiveness of sins, it is a restoration of the spring. That through the Spirit, God places his life in us. The source that will never run dry. You know, many believers live disconnected from that reality. Where we have been saved, but we are still thirsty. We are that way because the spring's flow gets blocked by the same old habits. Fear and shame, busyness and busyness and busyness. Lent's uncovering helps us to remove these stones. Every act of confession and silence, fasting and prayer helps to reopen the flow. Ultimately, the Samaritan woman left her water jar at the well, and I may not have read that passage, but that's exactly what happens. And that detail is incredibly important because she was moving away from the symbol of her previous efforts and was now nourished by living water within. Because when the spring flows in you, you no longer need to hoard or prove. You simply overflow. I think an important question for us to answer this morning is this: what cisterns have you been digging? Maybe it's the illusion that if you work harder, achieve more, fix everything, that's when you'll feel secure. Maybe it's the quiet addiction that you use to numb your loneliness. Maybe it's the good thing that became the ultimate thing, ministry or family or success. Lent says, let it be uncovered. Let it be named. Let it be surrendered. Because when God strips away things that are false, he's not punishing us. He's rescuing us. He knows that we're never going to experience resurrection life while we are clinging to substitutes, trying to fill ourselves with broken cisterns. The cross comes and it shows us that we've built cisterns that cannot hold the weight of our thirst. and then it fills us with water that truly satisfies. In Jeremiah's time, water meant survival. In Israel's dry climate, a broken cistern could be the difference between life and death. And spiritually, the same is true, that when we drink from false sources, we drink in scarcity, always anxious, always striving. But when the Spirit fills us, we move from a scarcity mindset to overflow, which is exactly what Jesus promised, that we would be filled to overflowing. And the Greek word that's being used here is halomai, and halomai doesn't mean a small, stagnant area of water. Halomai paints this image of water leaping up, of springing forward, of an unstoppable force. That is the image of life of God, of the life of God within believers. It cannot be contained by circumstance or trial. That even in suffering, joy can bubble up. Even in the wilderness, hope can rise. And that transformation only begins when we stop digging and start drinking. Not occasionally, but continually. And the discipline of Lent is to clear away the debris so that the spring can rise again. And as we close, I wonder, where are your broken cisterns? What wells have you been digging that leave you dry? You know, for some, it's time to admit that you're tired. Tired of managing your own thirst. Tired of pretending that the leaks don't exist. The Spirit is saying, come to me. Let me fill you again. In Jeremiah chapter 2, God's heart breaks not because his people failed, but because they settled for less. Right? He wants to know you today. He wants you to accept him as the spring of the water of life, to be patient, and he is willing to meet you. And so today, as an act of faith, I invite you to come forward and pray. You don't have to explain everything to God. And coming forward doesn't mean you're a failure. Coming forward doesn't mean you worship idols. It simply means that you want more of God, that you want more of the living water. And coming forward means that you're thirsty. And come forward and say, Lord, I've been digging cisterns that don't hold water, and I want you to be my spring again. So this morning, as we pray and as we sing, there is space at the altar for you. Now come and surrender yourself. As we did a couple weeks ago, we're going to swap sides, though. So if you would like to pray by yourself, invite you to be on that side. If you'd like Pastor Bud or myself to pray with you, then I invite you to come to this side. You know, maybe you've been in ministry for a long time, but the water feels low. Maybe you're walking through disappointment and you realize that you've been drawing from an empty well. This is a safe place to come and drink. Jesus isn't asking you to perform. He's asking you to receive, to trade your jar for his river. Let us pray. Lord God, we come with our cracked cisterns, hearts that have tried to hold what only you can give. Forgive us for forsaking the water of living water. And in your mercy, strip away our illusions and false sources of life. And teach us to drink once again from your living presence. Let the river of your Spirit flow freely in us. And as we are filled, make us fountains of grace for others. In the name of Jesus, the living water, we pray. Amen. I pray that we would all pay attention to what the Spirit may be saying to us this morning. That we wouldn't settle for less. That we would only drink from the pure source, the living water, the one who came and gave his life for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your grace and your mercy. Come fill us. Lord, let your Spirit reign in our lives. And whatever is within us, dear God, that does not reflect you, whatever is in us that we look to for hope, God, we pray that you would strip it away. Thank you for coming to us and for us and despite us. You are the Savior. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And it is in your name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to sign up for the Women's Conference.